Welcome back, True Siders. I am so happy to be talking to you. I know that I was supposed to have episodes out a couple weeks ago. Life has kind of gotten crazy. I started a new job. The kids are back in school, so I am trying to juggle everything. I haven't had to juggle work and kids in a couple years, so we're trying to get back into the groove of balancing that life. But I did not want to leave you with nothing again, so I am releasing the Patreon episode me and my daughter recorded, the Black Dahlia versus American Horror Story. It is less edited because I kind of wanted everything to kind of flow for the Patreon episode. I really hope you guys enjoy it. I am going to go on a two-week schedule, at least until I get kind of used to going back in the groove of being a working mom and wife. So wish me luck, and I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being listeners. Let me know if this is something that you like, the American Horror Story versus real life. If so, it is something that I will bring to the regular feed. I know at the end of this episode you'll hear us talk about another one we wanted to do. So with no further ado, here is the Black Dahlia versus American Horror. Welcome to the first A True Side of Crime Patreon exclusive episode. I am here with a special guest.
Hey guys, it is me, Janelle. I am back and I am ready.
So when I told Janelle that I was starting a series, she was like, I want to help. So we got our first episode together. And this is going to be a complete series for the whole thing. So that'll be an exciting treat because I won't just be talking to you guys. I get to talk to somebody who actually can respond back to me. So today we are going to be talking about Elizabeth Short, or as she's better known, the Black Dahlia. We're going to be talking about her in real life versus American Horror Story. Before we jump into that, though, I want to say thank you to anybody who is hearing this, because that means you are a Patreon and you are friggin' awesome. Okay? You're just awesome. If anybody tells you that you're not, they're lying. Tell them that I said. AJ said you're awesome. Okay? We're kind of going to go over the history of Elizabeth Short, and then we'll start doing some comparing and contrasting with the stories from around her death, because that's where they pick up in American Horror Story. Okay, so Elizabeth Short was born on July 29th, 1924 to Cleo and Phoebe Short in Hyde Park, Massachusetts. When Elizabeth, or Bette, or Betty, as her friends and family called her, was still very small, her family moved from Hyde Park to Milford with their five young daughters. So they had five girls. I can't imagine having five girls. I have two, and that is enough. But they moved for a job opportunity for Cleo. He designed and built mini golf courses. And I didn't even know mini golf courses were a thing in the 1920s.
Neither did I. It's very interesting because I was just like, wait, people played mini golf?
In the 20s, like that was a thing that they did. I don't know why I thought it started, you know, exactly, later, like right around color TV, you know. But I actually, the very first mini golf course I could find mentioned was in 1912 in London. So, random fun fact for you. Just store that in
London's
your brain.
London's always ahead of everybody.
I don't think so. Just put that in your back pocket, pull it out later. When Elizabeth was 5 years old in 1929, Cleo's car was found abandoned on a bridge and the car was empty. The police, you know, surveyed the scene and they ruled that Cleo must have jumped off the bridge and committed suicide. Now, Phoebe had to deal with the Great Depression while dealing with her grief and her newfound need to work and support five girls. I can't imagine how stressful that is. You lost your husband, the Great Depression started, and you have these five girls that you have to take care of. So she ended up working multiple jobs just to make ends meet. Now, even though Elizabeth lived like through one of the hardest times, she was said to be a happy, funny girl. She was beautiful, smart, and completely down to earth. She was said to be the type of girl that would stop and talk to literally anyone. And people from her hometown would speak about how amazing her eyes were. She had amazing blue eyes that sometimes turned into amazing green eyes. Now, they said she had flawless, what they called alabaster skin. I don't know why I hate that word. It's such a friggin' weird word to me. And deep black hair that she would dye, like using henna dye, which I also did not know that was a thing.
That's
probably because I'm not a hairstylist or dye my hair.
If I were to think about somebody and if somebody were to describe that look to me, the first person I'm going to think about is Snow White. Pale skin, really dark hair, blue eyes.
Facts.
Snow White, just period.
She was a modern day Snow White. That's what they should have called her instead of Black Dahlia. That doesn't sound as mysterious.
Or after.
Pretty sure Snow White was out in the 1940s. See how old that movie looked? What in the world? I could be wrong, though.
Well, that's why I'm Googling it.
Well, we're going to put a pin in this while Little Miss Muppet Googles it. Come on.
Well, I'm trying.
Listen, we're at home. You got Wi-Fi and regular internet on your phone. You need to... I don't know what's going on with your Google. Okay.
It came out in 1937.
So before her demise. 1937. I knew it was old. It has old ass graphics.
Mama, I know that. I've seen Snow White. I don't try to. I don't like the original movie, but I've seen it.
I did when I was a kid and I got older, was like, this real messed up. Her stepmama tries to kill her. Like, her dad's gone. It's your responsibility to take care of this little girl. And you tried to kill her with an apple.
I honestly just don't like Disney princesses from, like, the early times. Because, first of all, they dumb. Like, the first rule that my mama ever taught me was, don't talk to strangers. Don't take anything from strangers. No bullcrap like that. So, for her to just go and, like... oh, yes, I will accept this apple from this random lady who somehow knows where this cottage in the middle of the woods is. Why are you in the middle of the woods anyway?
Honestly, in the 1930s, I don't think talking to strangers was like... stranger danger wasn't like a thing in the 1930s. So when this movie came out, it wasn't a thing to not take stuff from strangers and not talk to people that were strangers. Because stranger danger didn't start like later on in like the... 70s and 80s when kids actually started being
disappearing.
White. Well, like, that's when, like, the Atlanta child murders and stuff like that, like, kids were disappearing at an astronomical rate. It's friggin' ridiculous how many kids were missing in the 80s. And it might have been before, we just were reported more about it probably in the 80s. Just like now, anytime a kid goes missing, it pops up on Facebook or you get alert or all that stuff. Okay, that was a sidebar, but we're going to get back to the story. I knew that, like, I know what henna is, but I didn't know people used it for hair dye. I thought it was just for, like, writing on your skin. I know they do that in certain Middle Eastern cultures.
Oh, I got one of those before.
You got a henna?
Mm-hmm.
Where at?
You remember the old babysitter? She used to live next to the Speedway that we always go to.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, her daughter... me and her daughter would walk down to the Littleton Library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the library that's right there. And they used to have a bunch of summer activities. And one of them was henna. And so it was like a Wednesday when we went down there. And it went from like right here all down my hand.
I'm pretty sure, do not quote me on this. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. That like that's a thing that they do in India. It's part of their culture in India. I know like... weddings and stuff, the bride will get henna, and it's so intricate and so stinking pretty.
So gorgeous.
Okay. The most memorable thing about her, though, was her walk. Miss Thang had a walk. It was said that if she had a glass of water on her head, not like she walked around with a glass of water, but she could have put a glass of water on her head and walk, and she would have spilled a drop because she had that great of a walk.
Sis was the queen of her own castle.
Right. Elizabeth was someone that it seemed like everybody in her town loved. And if you met her, you would never forget her. Now, I'm not sure of the exact timeline of this next part. I couldn't find exactly like what years this happened, but Cleo, at some point out of the blue, because surprise, he ain't dead.
Which is, come on, that's super crappy.
Faked your own suicide to leave your family at the beginning of the Great Depression. If Bruh. That's not cowardly, I don't know what is.
Bruh, no.
This man need some courage. Fuck going on here.
Maybe.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, maybe he should get a heart for like the cowardly life.
That's what I was thinking about. He need a heart.
You could take the Carly Lyons place in the Wizard of Oz.
He had courage. And then the Tin Man had a heart.
So either way, he needs something. He needs to take both the Lyons place.
I think he needs all to take all their place, a brain, a heart, and some courage.
And he needs to go back home.
What kind of bull malarkey are you doing where in your brain and your heart you think my best option is to abandon my 5 kids and my wife?
Steve Rogers does not approve.
I can't with you.
I'm sorry. Ever since you said the Great Depression, the first thing I thought of was Captain America and the Winter Soldier, because that's when they were alive.
Listen. My daughter has a slight obsession with the MCU.
Absolutely love it.
Put that together. Well, I'm going to tell y'all one of the things about these exclusives on Patreon is I'm not going to edit out as much of the like chitter chatter that happens, just because I think it'll give y'all a better look into who we are, weirdness and all, because my family's pretty weird.
I am a very, very weird person. Somebody tells me at least once a day, I know I'm weird, and I am fully embraced that.
And she also points it out to the person that tells her.
Exactly.
Like, you're weird too, because you're related to me.
No, I don't know why. I've never said
First
that.
First of all, I don't know why I said it in that voice, because she's not so. It's a cartoon character that sounds the way I just sound, and I don't remember who it was, but it was horrible. Like a Simpson character.
If any of y'all know what character she's talking about, please let me know, because I'm curious.
Anyway. So he writes a letter to Phoebe and telling her what happened and he wants to come home if she's not here for the bullshit.
Like, I mean, would you though? No. Mama, bruh, I don't even I'm not here for daddy, the bullcrap.
If your daddy left, pretended he... Not even just, like, you didn't fake your death. You faked your suicide. Like, at the beginning of this pandemic, your daddy faked his suicide and then wrote me a letter like, I'm ready to come back home now.
Bruh, no. Sorry.
Excuse me? No, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to go with no. That's a no for me.
I'm going to come up in here.
It's going to be very American Idol. That's going to be a no for me. I might even pull a Randy and say, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Because you can't just do that and then expect that the woman's going to be like, yes, love, come back into the folds of our home. If I was a daughter, I wouldn't want to.
That's Alice Cooper.
What about it?
I'm sorry. After you were talking, when I thought about Alice Cooper, I started thinking about Riverdale. I don't know why that's where my mind straight went, but I thought you were doing something else.
That's literally, I don't even know why that's still up there. That is, Alice Cooper is literally an artist who was popular. And I talked about, briefly mentioned Alice Cooper in my I Hate Mondays case. Because that was Brenda Spencer's favorite artist.
Mm.
This kid.
Well, excuse
what
me.
What makes you think I was doing anything that has to do with Riverdale?
Because Riverdale is crazy. You don't know. There could be some kind of murder, some kind of real life murder case tied up in there.
Wrong podcast. If I talked about Riverdale, it'd be on the entertainment one we're starting. Goofball. Get your life, kid. Get your life. Anyway, so she refused to see this man. And hand clap to her. Stand up for yourself, boo. You did it without him. So when Elizabeth came of age in 1943, her dad invited her to stay with him in Vallejo, California. And Elizabeth always wanted to be famous, so she wanted to go to Cali And she was so beautiful. People always thought that she would make something of herself and she would be in movies or a model or whatever. So he sent her money to help her with her travels. She packed up, moved to Cali with her daddy. He did tell her she got to cook and clean to stay there. Here's my issue with you telling your daughter you got to cook and clean after you abandoned her.
Bruh, nah. That's my thing. Bruh, you abandoned me. My siblings and my mama. You really think I'm gonna cook and clean for you?
My point is, you abandoned your kid. You can give her somewhere to live for a little while till she's able to get on her feet. Okay. Elizabeth did move, like I said, but she did not cook and clean for this man. She wanted to go out, you know, meet guys. She wanted to get married, so she went on dates. And it is said that she was kind of lazy. I'm not sure how true that is, especially coming from the man who abandoned her and later, I believe, becomes a bigger butt face.
Okay.
Anyway, so he pretty much, not long into her living with him, he gives her some more money and tells her to take her butt back out. East. She ain't doing it though.
Sis was not having that. She
first
she
of all,
really
if I came to Cali to be famous,
you really think you're I'm just not gonna about leave?
To, I'm already here. Bruh. I've made it to the California. Motherland. I'm not
leaving.
Like
I will go somewhere out of his house.
That'd have been like if we moved to Cali like we were supposed to, and then like your dad's job was like, oh, he'll send you somewhere. No, thank you.
Bruh, I'm not going.
I'm already here now.
You brought me to California. I'm staying in California.
You can find other jobs. So, Elizabeth obviously wasn't that lazy because she got a job. She worked at Camp Cook. Okay, so Camp Cook was activated later on after Elizabeth worked there as Cook Air Force Base. It was, and now it's, Vandenberg Air Force Base. It's in Santa Barbara, California. I just wanted to give some context of what it was actually now. It still does exist. Now, Elizabeth was voted Camp Cutie. She garnered a lot of attention from the men there. And she went on a few dates. And super quickly, they realized she was not here for sleeping around.
I mean, she...
She wanted to get married. I don't blame
like,
her.
Exactly.
Like, it's not for everybody. If you don't want to get married, don't get married. Exactly. But if you want to get married and that's your goal in life, then... Date to marry. Don't just date to date. Date to date when you're like a teenager.
Like my age.
And like in college. But once you get out of that, date to marry. If that's what you want to do. If you don't ever want to get married, then just do whatever you want to. It's your prerogative. And her prerogative was to get married. And after they found out she wasn't about to
sleep around with nobody,
they very, very quickly stopped paying attention to her. And I'm sure that whole thing was kind of uncomfortable. Because she did not work there very long, and it's probably because they made her feel weird. She went from Camp Cutie to people probably ignoring her because she didn't want to sleep around, which is kind of crap. So, also in 1943, Elizabeth would get in a little bit of trouble. She was with some friends at a restaurant, and they were being rowdy. Rowdy Piper. If you don't know who that is, it's a wrestler. Look him up. He wears a kilt. Well, he did. He passed away. What are you? Are you... My daughter's doing a cheer. Well, yeah, that's about being rowdy.
It's the cheers.
The owners called the police. I'm gonna need you to stop laughing. They were being rowdy and the owners called the police. Now, Elizabeth was underage. She should not have been drinking, which she probably was. So she was booked and fingerprinted, but they didn't charge her. They actually arranged for her to go back home to Massachusetts.
This is going to be needed for later. So, keep that in mind.
Elizabeth would almost immediately leave to go back to California. Nobody is keeping this woman from where she wants to be, which is in Cali. She sounds like my daughter.
I mean,
one goal in life to get to California.
My entire life, that's literally the only place I want to go. And I plan to go there for college, and I probably won't stay there after college because I plan to travel. But I will live there.
Coffee. Sorry, I drank my coffee and it was...
It hit the spot.
It was warming. Coffee. Okay. So...
While in LA, Elizabeth met a pilot named Lieutenant Gordon Fickling. They fell in love like that. And, you know, Elizabeth, she was dating to marry, so they had plans to get married. Unfortunately for them, Fickling was shipped out, so their plan kind of just went down the drain. So Elizabeth went back home for the holiday.
Hold on. just because you go overseas doesn't mean exactly. that you end your relation with people. People wrote people back in, like, there was letters. That was a thing, sending letters. So I'm not sure. He was like, I'm going overseas, bye. And that was the end of it. That's so weird to me.
So, yeah, she did go back to Massachusetts for a little bit to stay with relatives. But then she went back
uh-huh. to LA? No.
Or where is she?
She went to back to out east for the holidays. Then she went to Miami. I'm going to Miami. Whatever.
where you know, the she Will Smith met song,
Miami.
Where she met another pilot. This girl has a thing for them, I guess.
She literally called these men her soldier boys.
That's yes, I did. I them. Literally called them soldier boys.
And my brain was offended because when I hear the phrase soldier boy, I think about soldier boy, tell them.
Yeah, but it's not soldier. It's soldier with ja. There's no duh. Oh, there's no D-E-R.
I know how to spell it. The boy came out when I was a teenager.
I know that.
Just
anyway, and this guy's name was Matt Gordon. It's kind of weird because they kind of have a similar.
Yeah, because when I first read this, I was like,
what?
Are these the same? Did I misread exactly. somebody's name? And then it wasn't. One's first name was Gordon, one's last name was Gordon. Gordon. That's a reference from Bones if you didn't know.
So Elizabeth fell in love with Gordon. She was down and they were, I'm pretty sure they were engaged. And then Gordon was also shipped off. But, you know, they actually stayed together when he was shipped off. I don't know why she didn't do that the first time, but
It probably wasn't her decision, but maybe. They planned to get married mm-hmm. when he came back. It was going down.
Sucks to be them because
I feel like that sounds a little bit, I don't know, rude.
Just sorry. Rude.
With this kid. Are your teenagers rude? That's rude.
So, Major Gordon over here ended up dying. He was killed in action literally a week, or actually less than a week, before he was supposed to go home. So, that happens.
That's so sad to me. Like, imagine being like, yes, he's coming home. I'm about to get married. I'm about to start my family.
Exactly. And then just everything just goes.
His mama calls you like, I'm sorry, dear, but...
He did.
He didn't make it. Why are you just so bright? That's... What? He did. No, I'm sure that's not what his mama said, okay? Because I know Elizabeth was having correspondence with his mother while he was gone. She was getting in good with her... With who she thought was going to be her future mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. I can't help but think, had... She stayed with him or had her and Gordon
fickling?
Yes. I was about to say flicking again. Stayed together that her life would have ended up not snuffed out so quickly. Like, it makes me so angry because she was so young and so full of life and somebody just was evil.
So,
go ahead, continue.
While mourning Matt's death, I've decided to call them by their first names now. Elizabeth claimed that they were already married and that they had a child who died during childbirth.
Why would you make up a lie like that? I don't understand. Like, that sounds like she had some kind of break with reality. Not like, that doesn't just sound like grief. It sounds like a break reality if you ask me, but who am I? Just a podcaster.
So she ends up, while healing, she ends up getting back in contact with friends from Hollywood. One of them happened to Gordon Fickling.
Gordon, good old Gordon.
Exactly. They just go right back. Why not? And she kind of saw him as a stand-in for Matt, and she fell in love with him.
Again.
So, that sucks. So she...
Oh, go ahead.
Nah, I want to hear it.
The sad part, though, is they just couldn't work it out. Like, they could not work it out. He was super jealous. He thought that she had other people on the side, but he still loved her. Like, they were still in contact years later.
So she ends up taking a bus to San Diego, and she stays in a theater.
I don't know why, for some reason, in my notes, I put hotel. The Aztec was not a hotel. It was definitely a theater. Aztec theater.
And she ended up staying the night there. So while sleeping there, she was found by one Miss Dorothy French. Dorothy was the counter girl. I was almost going to call her a custodian.
Not the same.
That's not what that is. I couldn't think of the right word.
Concession?
So. Yes, that's what it's called. She's the concession stand girl. And so she found her during one of the late shows. So Elizabeth told Dorothy that she had left Hollywood, and she's trying to find a job as an actress, but it was very difficult because of the whole acting strike that was going on. And, you know, Dorothy felt sorry for the poor girl. And offered her a place to stay at her house for a few days.
Dude, if you ever just invited some random girl that you met at your job to live in my house for any period of time, you and the girl both gotta go. Y'all gotta go. Because obviously I'm doing a bad job raising you. If you think that it's acceptable to invite a complete stranger into our home.
Well, you just said in the 40s, there was no stranger danger.
Yeah, but that's still just weird. Not even stranger danger. You want me to pay for this person to live here?
I'm not gonna do this. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, because you're the one I'm talking to. And you're the oldest child I have. Well, the oldest daughter I have right now. Anyway, Elizabeth milked this because she stayed there
for a month.
Nearly a month. Yeah.
And did not get a job. She didn't help take care of the house, anything like that. She did very little.
I think she ended up getting a job part-time, very little, with that Mark Hansen guy. Because he's a strange character. At the one of his nightclubs. I don't know what she did there, but I think that she, like, as a waitress or something.
And it turns out Elizabeth was partying again. Staying up into the late hours of the night. And was chilling down there.
Now, there was a weird happening. I heard this at one source. I was never able to confirm it with any other sources. But the source where I heard this was from a podcast that I really love called True Crime Garage.
You should watch it.
Bro, they don't have a video podcast. They're audio. Anyway, they interviewed the dude who wrote the Black Dahlia, like the movie.
I've never seen the movie.
I have. It has Josh Hartnett in it. Pretty sure, because he was a heartthrob back then. You don't know who Josh Hartnett is?
No.
In the 90s or early 2000s, he was a big actor. You remember the movie The Faculty? Did you ever see that? It has Usher in it, where the teacher's taken over by aliens.
It sounds familiar.
She's Googling again. So we're going to let her figure out who Josh Hartnett is. I'm going to talk a little bit. Yeah. And then she's going to jump back in here. Anyway, so he said that there was, I don't remember what they call these people. It was the something three. Maybe the Santa Barbara three. I don't know. Anyway, it was two men and a woman that came to the French's door. And Elizabeth was scared, didn't want them to answer the door. Like, no one knows who these three people were, why she was scared, what they wanted, where they came from. Nothing. I could not find any mention of it anywhere else. But it's very curious.
Sin City. I've never actually seen Sin City, but a lot of people are in it.
Yeah, it's a... Are you just going through his whole, like,
thing? That's what I do when I find actors and actresses.
Show The Black Dahlia?
Yes. Right there. Dahlia, 2006. This came out the year I was born.
Uh-huh.
Wait, we already went over this.
Yeah.
No, it was something else that we went over.
Are you sure?
Because it came out, like, it was, like, the day after my birthday or something.
Oh, I don't know. Ain't no telling. Anyway, they would end up telling her she needed to leave. They didn't tell her to leave quite yet. She was kind of walking around one day, and this gentleman tried to give her a ride, and he offered a few times, and she denied, but eventually she accepted, which makes me think she was trying to play coy.
Exactly.
She was playing hard to get.
And this man's name was Robert Red Manley. I'm sorry, but your middle name is Red?
His middle name ain't Red. It's a nickname.
I was so confused.
Girl, it's a nickname.
And his last name is Manley.
I actually had somebody that worked for me named Robert Manley when I worked at Golden Corral.
That is strange.
It was just weird because I was like, that's weird. I know, like, all the names of people that work there, though, just because as the front of the house manager, mm-hmm. I had to input all of everybody's everything. I was in charge of all the HR stuff.
And he was a salesman from LA with a wife. Not only was he married, but his wife was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So,
he does say that his relationship with Elizabeth was strictly platonic. Whether you believe that or not. He said he found her attractive, but the relationship was platonic. Which I think it might have been, but I don't think it was because that's what he wanted. I think it was because Elizabeth was not for it.
No, she was not. She wanted to get married.
If you wasn't trying to put a ring on it, she wasn't about to go there with you. It makes me think of that. If you like it, you should have put it.
Exactly.
If you like it, you should have put it. Anyway, I can't sing, but I'm still going to randomly sing songs if they have anything to do with the case we're talking about.
One night, Elizabeth was going to go back to LA, and she wanted Red to drive her. And, you know, Robert's a nice guy, so he's like, yeah, I'll drive you. So they ended up staying at a hotel, and they shared a hotel room at the Swallows Inn. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure.
Swallow like a bird.
She told him that she was going back to Massachusetts, but first she needed to meet her married sister at the Biltmore Hotel.
That's also a very odd hotel. A very odd detail. Her married sister.
That's super strange.
Like, okay, I'm not sure. I also could not ever tell where she fell with her sisters. Like, if she was the youngest or the middle or what.
I thought she was the youngest.
I kind of pieced together that she was the youngest, but I've never been able to officially, like, find that. So, on January 8th of 1947, he picked her up from the Fritch's house and they drove. You already said that.
Yes, I did. I just didn't get the date.
Anyway, so all that happened on January 1947. He would drop her off at the lobby. Like, he'd walk her into the lobby of the Biltmore Hotel in Hollywood. Which, if you know anything about the Biltmore, it is literally a very high-class hotel.
Presidents have stayed.
Yes, the rich and famous.
There's some girl, and I can't remember her name, and now I'm sad, because I remember Harlow saying her, like, oh, I actually know who you're talking about.
Is it Marilyn Monroe?
No. It was, like, Shirley Temple. That's her name.
Oh, Shirley Temple. And Disney.
Oh, yes. But Walt, I don't really like him.
Disney. I mean, I like...
I like his movies. Disney I like movies. His company. You already know, I've always been a diehard Disney fan,
yeah.
Period. My entire life, doesn't matter if it's Marvel or Disney Channel or just the classic Disney movies. I'm a diehard Disney fan.
Yes, but what they say about Walt Disney is that he was racist and sexist and a rude man. But, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any receipts, so I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But he was a man back in the day, so the likelihood of that happening is very strong because... Anyway, employee from the hotel bar said that a car pulled up and Elizabeth seemed to recognize the person in the car that waved at her and she went outside. That was the last sighting of Elizabeth. Red said when he left the hotel, she was making phone calls in the lobby.
So, 1 week later, January 15th, 1947, it's cold.
Okay, let me put a pause here. This right here is going to be where we're going to start talking about real life versus American Horror Story. I just wanted to give some background on Elizabeth Short. I always want to call her Elizabeth Smart, and that is a completely different victim. She's alive and well, but I always want to mix their last names up because it's Elizabeth S.
But like I said, it's a week later, and Betty Bursinger is a housewife, and she's walking with her daughter in the Limmer?
I think so.
Park section of the city, and she's going to a shoe repair shop to fix the heel on one of her shoes with her daughter. And so Betty and her daughter are walking, and she sees something out of the corner of her eye. She brushes it off as, like, a mannequin because stores like doing that. But
Okay. Apparently. This is 2021. When have you seen a mannequin on the side of the road ever? Like, ever?
In my entire...
In your 14 years.
Mama, I feel like there are probably mannequins in, like, the trash things behind stores, but I've never been, like, behind a store with mannequins.
I feel like if it is a broken mannequin, second of all, whoever leaves a mannequin on the side of the road is never a mannequin. I just need to say, it's always never a dead body. A mannequin. It is always a person. Like, it's always the body of a person. It is a human being every single time. It's always like, they thought it was a mannequin. No. Bruh. Like, what part? I know probably in your head you're like, it's a mannequin because I'm not seeing a dead body. Like, it's not a dead person. I refuse to believe that. I have to believe that is what people are thinking and why people are always like, I thought it was a mannequin. And really in their head was, I didn't think it was a damn mannequin. I hoped it was a mannequin because I hoped I wasn't seeing a dead body. Mommy,
you
said a dead
mannequin. You mean a...
They're inanimate objects. So
she realized that it was a dead body. And, you know, it's a dead body. So she's freaking out. She's banging on people's doors. One did actually let her in. And they called 911. And a call... This is where we start talking about American Horror Story.
Okay.
So, she's actually found the same way in American Horror Story because, you know, you gotta at least keep part of it factual. Mm-hmm.
Is a lady walking down the street with her daughter in a little, what I'm gonna assume is an old school stroller because it's weird looking. And the daughter's like, look, mommy.
And, you know, the daughter looks like she's, what, like four?
She looks like she's three. she
which
looks
is
like a 3-year-old.
Like four. Anyway, so they're walking.
Just whatever. You're 14,
and you know,
so you don't
she
understand the
passes
difference.
It, and she's like, oh, whatever.
She's like, it's a mannequin, dear. And then she, like, double takes. And then like, she gets close. Like, she walks further up, and she's like,
and
oh,
screams,
dear.
Because, you know, yes, it's like, it's a horror show. So, you know,
one of those
there's
got to
be one of those.
Screams.
Exactly. And so when we meet one Miss Elizabeth Short in American Horror Story, she appears in as herself, but she's going to the dentist's office.
Which, I want to say, there is literally no proof that she ever went to the dentist.
No, I
before.
Gotta get my notes up in this piece.
Up in this piece.
Up in this piece, yes, I did
also
say that.
Have. The episode I do want to say is Spooky Little Girl.
Season 1, Episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
The season is titled Murder House, the very first season. And if you watch American Horror Story, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what's going to happen. You know the whole shebang.
We are going to... I'm going to say if you're listening to this series, you should maybe watch American Horror Story. Because literally we're going to do a whole series on how some cases resemble. Like, even if it's not something like... This is very blatant. It's Elizabeth Short,
they
the Black
literally
Dahlia.
Are like... Boom,
but
right there. Kids.
We also want to talk about some that aren't as blatant.
You mean like the school shooting that I can never remember?
No, we're not going to talk about. You're talking about Columbine.
Yes.
That's going to be on a regular episode.
Okay.
But like...
The nurses.
Yeah.
Another part of Murder House. But anyway, so she is going to the house. You know, it's the Murder House. And it currently belongs to one Mr. Dr. David Curran. And... I already told you he's a dentist, and he is the second owner of the Murder House. The first one was the dentist. His name was Montgomery.
He's another dentist?
Not a dentist, a surgeon. He's kind of crazy.
If you
watched Murder House, you know what I'm talking about. He knocked right in the head.
I do want to say that they did, I feel like they did the portrayal of Elizabeth, like initially, what she looked like. Properly, because I did read that she always wanted to stay in the latest fashion, and in this episode she looked like she has her little tailored dress mm-hmm. on, and she looks very put together.
She's very pretty. Just yes. Period. Mm-hmm. They got a very good person to play her. So she is at the dentist because she has cavities, and she was using melted wax to hold them together. Even though that's a very bad idea, but you know, she was kind of homeless.
I don't think it was something that she did because she was homeless. I think that they thought if you put melted wax in a cavity, it would just fill the hole. It was the 1940s.
You know, that obviously didn't happen.
I mean, I'm sure it did because but it didn't help with the, I doubt it helped
with
the
pain
and stuff. Like, you're literally putting wax in your mouth. How sterile is that?
And so she introduces herself, and she's talking,
She says her name? I don't ever remember her saying her name.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't say her name until later when she meets Harmon? Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Harmon. That's his name. I had to remember because...
You also called him Mark Harmon, which is Gibbs from NCIS.
I did not want to admit that.
His name is Ben Harmon. I'm calling you out.
I know. Anyway, she... is trying to make some kind of arrangement with Kieran because, you know, she doesn't have a whole lot of money. And
I don't like this part because they always, in the media and everything, they always really sexualize Elizabeth. And like we said earlier, she was a no-go with the sleeping around. So they kind of made it seem like she used her body and she was overly sexualized to get what she wanted from men.
Mm-hmm. So this happens and Mama already said she's very sexualized. And so she's talking and to the doctor. And she's like, it hurts, doctor, in like a very sexual way. Insert awkward teenager.
You're the one saying this. You didn't have to say that part if it made you uncomfortable.
That's his name. I have to remember all of their names because there are like three different doctors that lived in there and I'm trying to make sure I don't mix any of them up. So, Kieran is about to put the mask on her face and he's like, I'll like crush your flower. And I forgot the original flower.
Carnation.
Yes. And so she turns, she's like, it's a dahlia, silly.
It's not a carnation. It's a dahlia, silly.
And you know.
And then the music hits in the back, that doom or whatever. And that's when like the ball drops that it is the black dahlia.
So then, you know, it flips to.
Very inappropriateness.
And, you know,
is there a scene between when she says Dahlia silly and then him being highly inappropriate?
I thought that was when they introduced Constance and Travis into this said episode because they're actually of some level of importance.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm
gonna leave that to you.
But no, I'm pretty sure you're right. And so I looked into this a lot, but some say that she was sexually assaulted, others did not. I will leave you up to your own devices for you to decide whether she was sexually assaulted or whether it was consensual, I said.
Yeah, I doubt it was. Yeah. Also, I don't think they could tell just because, like, the state of her body, which mm-hmm. we'll kind of get to later when we actually talk about what happened to her, because they don't go into as much detail about that in AH.
So, you know, that happens, and he fixes her teeth and everything. Like,
no, he didn't. He took the mask off. He's like, let's look at your teeth.
And then he realizes that she's dead, and, you know, he's freaking out because she's dead. And so, you know, the original surgeon, Mr. Montgomery, is like, oh, don't worry. We can move her out of here.
After the man drags her to the basement, mm-hmm. and then out of the blue, the surgeon just pops up like, hey, I can help.
That's how the ghosts are, because there are some ghosts where you literally only see them for, like, 5 seconds in one episode, and then they're just gone.
Except
until, like,
for
the very end.
Yeah, the Halloween episode.
The only constant ghost is, like, Tate. That's it.
The maid, too.
Tate, yeah, and the maid. That's about it. And then Hayden, when she dies.
Yeah, because the maid is always there, but she doesn't always look the same. Because, you know, the Dr. Harmon, and so he has his, what I'm going to call an epiphany. She looks like the sexy young lady
that she was killed as. And honestly, I feel kind of bad for her because, like, she was being harassed by Constance's husband. She was just trying to make the bed. She was just trying to do her job. And, you know, she got shot because of it.
Because Constance is a psycho.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, this is where it's flash into how we're going to start the episode with the regular people, with, like, Constance and Travis. And, like I said, guys, if you've seen Horror Story, you already know what I'm talking about. But they end up having a argument because Travis is like, Elizabeth, he wants to go somewhere and be an actor. And, you know, they're already in California, so he already has that going for him. And so,
I never remember that guy's name.
You mean Travis?
Yeah, I never remember his name.
Well, that's just because I read through multiple different pages, and I knew I was going to have to remember it because he becomes important to the story later.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up sleeping with Hayden because she, like, wolf whistles. That's what it's called? Or is it called catcalling? One of those two.
What the heyday is a wolf whistle?
is that, whoop, whoop. I can't do it because, you know. I actually just don't know how to do it.
That?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's called a wolf whistle?
I thought so.
It might be.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Let us know.
The more you know.
I didn't know that. I mean, you could very well be right. I don't know. I feel like we both have phones and neither one of us is looking into this. My phone is just out of reach, so I'm just going to leave it there to charge.
But, so he finds Hayden and she is Dr. Harmon. ex-college student, because that's why they're in the murder house in the first place.
Let's not sugarcoat this. She is his mistress.
And technically she was his baby mama.
Was going to be his baby mama.
But she got an abortion. I honestly feel bad for Vivian, who was the, Yeah, but Harvey didn't even kill her. That freaking guy with half his face burnt off, his name is, like, Larry. His name is Larry. I absolutely dislike this guy because he's just annoying.
I feel kind of bad for him also.
Eh.
Hold on. Is Larry the one who used to be married to Constance?
No. Larry's the one whose, wife and children died in the house fire. And then he stayed with Constance and like Tay and their whole family, and Tay wasn't having that. So
I thought they became a family. Like they started dating.
I don't think they got married, but they did become that whole family thing.
Because there was like a scene where they were like all at the table, and then Tay saying prayer, and he was really really rude and ignorant because it's Tay.
Exactly.
And he doesn't know how to be anything but ignorant.
I mean, look at his mama.
I know.
I can't really. You can't even really blame him.
You can, though.
You can.
He turned into a murderous, evil, raper man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The last part didn't click with me until I was like, oh, yeah, because that's how they all end up dying in the freaking house. I was hoping for them not to die. I was praying.
Yeah, like, why does everybody have to
die? Literally everyone except for the child that was supposed to die. Like, the baby that was supposed to die did not die.
I thought
everybody else dies.
Here's my thing is, the first time I watched it, I thought they were gonna make it because they were like leaving. They were leaving. And then
there's only one family who have ever stayed there who lived, and that's only because the Harmons were like not gonna have them die the same way they did. Mm-hmm. Because you know, the ghost did their whole thing with the dragging them downstairs and almost burning them, that whole shebang. And so the parents are like, you need to get out of here. They ultimately scare the absolute crap out of the living parents to make them get out.
I feel like if I was it, let's just think outside the box and say that American Horror Story, there was a house where if you died, your spirit stayed there. And I could tell somebody, like, get out now. I would scare the heebie-jeebies out of everybody so people wouldn't live there. So nobody else died. None of these other ghosts. Now, the maid, she had a weird way of doing it. Like, she showed up as the young person. And then after Dr. Harmon was like, oh, something really happened to Vivian, then she was like, you're finally seeing things for what they are. Like, what? And then he looked at her and was like, what in the world? Why are you old? He didn't say that, but it was on his face. Anyway, we literally have jumped down the rabbit hole of American Horror Story. Bear with us. We're getting back to the point.
Yeah, so I already talked about Travis and Hayden. So yeah, they end up sleeping together. And then Travis goes back to Constance. Mm-hmm. They end up fighting again. This is right in between that, though. They have their whole section between of Betty finding the Black Dahlia.
Okay, so let's... We didn't talk about how Dr. Karen comes up behind the surgeon. He's like, what did you do? He was like, you'll find her to be more mobile this way.
Which and is kind of creepy.
It was
like, bruh.
It wasn't kind of creepy. It was hella creepy. You'll find her to be more mobile this way. And then, like, starts putting her body in bags. Like, which, put that one in your back pocket. Remember the bags, okay? Because that associates to real life.
I'm slightly curious. Who moved the body? Because, like, I do know later... with
the only
Travis.
Person that could have done it was Dr. Keir. The
oh, right, because he's still dead. Living. Right. I don't know why, but I thought...
The surgeon could actually harm living people and ghosts, which is also weird to me.
I mean, Tate didn't bring...
Let's not talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, we're...
Okay, anyway. So, the dentist is creeped out because he sees how the surgeon has dismembered Elizabeth's body. And then the surgeon says, she looks so sad. Let's give her a smile. And give her the Glasgow smile. Is that
I
what
think
it's
that's
called?
That's what it's called.
It's called a Glasgow smile. And it's literally like, think Joker with the side of the lips up. Mm-hmm. It's cut, like the side of her mouth is cut up like 2 inches on each side. It is so creepy.
It makes me think of the Witches movie. Like both of them. No, the new one. the new one only, because in The New Witches with Anne Hathaway, all of their mouths are, like, from their cheekbones.
That's weird. I feel like when you told me that, it made me not want to watch that movie.
The thing about it, which is really upsetting to me, is that how does nobody notice the lines on these ladies' faces? Because they're very, very prominent.
Maybe regular people don't see them. Only whoever they want to see them. Dum, dum, dum. They are witches.
Mama, dumb witches are scary. Just period.
You told me about that. I was like, I don't think I want to watch
that. Mama, that's like it's like a horror movie for children. It's not Coraline bad, because Coraline was something in a whole different world.
So, as we said something... Oh, Coraline, I don't like that. Anyway, as we said, if you die in the murder house, your spirit stays there. So...
Dolly is there for life. And death.
And so she waltzes in Dr. Harmon, which is the main male character who lives in the house, mm-hmm. the murder house. And she talks to him about how she needs therapy because she uses her body to get what she wants. And he talks to her about insurance because he agrees to treat her. And she doesn't say anything. She just looks at him. And he was like, okay, we'll work something out. And then she starts to strip. She takes her coat off. And he's like, no, you don't have to do that with me. Once again, they're showing her as a loose woman. And he like is trying to put her jacket back on. But then he looks to the side and it flashes with him like making out with her. Like, were you daydreaming about making out with her?
Yes, that's what happens.
Or was that just like
him.
A mind fudge? Like,
well, no, what? It's the house trying to play tricks on him with that whole thing, because you know that house was making them
crazy. Well, yeah, because Vivian got put actually in a mental institution.
Yes.
By her stupid husband. Ugh.
We don't like him.
I don't like him. Everything he... 97% of the stuff he does in this movie is crappy.
I didn't...
Up until he figures out that she wasn't lying, and then he gets his stuff together.
And then I was like, finally!
And then he also even tries to be nice to her baby, who ends up being a psycho. And it comes all the way back around.
With Tate.
No, it comes all the way back around in Apocalypse.
Yes.
In the movie... season Apocalypse. Anyway, we'll get there eventually.
So...
One season at a time.
Yes. So, we're gonna go back to Hayden and Constance. They get in... Not Hayden and Constance. Travis and Constance.
Why are we going back to Travis and
because
Constance?
Because Travis becomes the boy Dahlia.
Yeah, but we haven't even talked to... We haven't even talked about how Elizabeth figures out she's a black Dahlia, yes. And she became famous.
Because after Elizabeth has her talk with Dr. Harmon, she goes down to the basement for some reason because she's just in the basement. And she is talking about how she's trying to be very famous. And Hayden is just like... Do you not know?
That's after this other thing. Oh. So remember, it like cuts to something else and it comes back to the scene of her and the maid and they're like smooching.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, what are you doing? Get out. And the maid's like, come and play. And he's like, no, you're fired. I'm not treating you. Your last act as the maid is to see her to the door. Okay. And this is literally the same, like, right before he has his epiphany, mm-hmm. and realizes that his wife is not crazy, and he literally put her in a mental institution. So, Elizabeth gets up, and she gets dressed, and that's when she goes down, and Hayden's talking to her, and she's looking at her, like, astonished, because she's like, I'll never be famous.
And, like I said, Hayden's like, do you not know who you are? And face is like...
She was like...
So confused, and it looks like she feels so bad for her, like...
And the way she ends up, she's like, you don't know, do you? Like, and the way she said it was like, her heart was breaking for her, like,
exactly.
You don't know about yourself. And she shows her articles about...
The Black Dahlia.
And how famous she became. And at first, Elizabeth is very, like, embarrassed because we're going to talk about the way that her body was displayed... And I feel like I would be embarrassed too. Mm-hmm. And then she realized that she actually did become famous.
She's like the most well-known case in like California, maybe.
Yeah, I would say Hollywood. Most well-known unsolved case in Hollywood. That's fair. I thought you were going to be like, period. I'd be like, JonBenet, Jack the Ripper, Zodiac. Those ones are up there too.
But, Yeah. Are we going to Boydalia now?
Yes, you can go to Boydalia now.
So, like Which I said.
Which is a weird name, but okay.
Well, the press is weird, mama. Okay.
Yes, they are.
Press is weird. Not Hayden. Travis and Constance get in another fight about him wanting to, go out and be an actor or be in, like, that kind of industry. And beforehand, Constance goes to the house with the maid and accuses him of, accuses Violet, who is the daughter of Dr. Harmon, of sleeping with Travis. And, you know, Violet's in love with Tate, and I'm pretty sure this is right before Violet realizes she's dead. But they get into that whole thing about the demon baby that's actually a demon baby.
And it's crazy because people die in this house and they don't realize they're dead until somebody else tells them.
Yeah. Because except they're still for Tate, just walking around super, living their best life. Which is weird. Like, he did get, like, shot up. He got shot up. And the way that they displayed Violet, we didn't actually know she was dead either.
No.
Till way later, until they showed the man finding her dead body.
Yeah, it's... It
wasn't
everybody.
Even her dead body. It wasn't even them. They didn't even show it as her dead body. Tate had to show her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't remember the man's name, but it starts with an M. She's talking to Constance about how that's not true because Violet's in love with Tate and they have that whole thing. Travis does end up coming back with Hayden. They end up sleeping together again, but Travis goes back, or tries to go back to Constance because they were talking about having a kid.
He said that he was in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. He was in love with Constance, and Hayden
was not having that crap.
Because she had just got denied by Dr. Harmon because he had just realized that he needed to focus on his wife.
She stabs him, like, 4 times because at first she's like, can I have a hug?
Can I at least have a hug? And the crazy thing is, this man is so naive and so sweet. He's like, yeah, of course. Like, and he says it in such a sweet manner. Like, what they did was wrong, but he was just stinking sweet. He was a nice, naive, he was just naive.
You know,
kind of like Elizabeth, because she was really naive and thought that everybody had her best interests at heart.
And so, yeah, they hug and she takes a knife and stabs him in the back like 5 times. I don't know
where... She then stabs him in the abdomen, too.
Oh, yes. I don't know where she keeps getting these knives.
Was it a knife? I thought it was a screwdriver. They are in a basement.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know some of their hair looked like a screwdriver. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know.
It's probably a screwdriver. Anyway, so, you know, Travis is one of those people that actually wakes up and sees his dead body. So, he's like, oh.
The weird part to me is... Now? Yeah, like, he wakes up, he sees himself, and then Elizabeth pops up.
And so does the surgeon.
The surgeon's like, I can help.
And they're talking about, like, how they're gonna dispose of her body. That's when he comes up, and then he's like, as long as you get somebody to transport the body for me. But right before that, they're talking about how, when Travis looks at his body, he's like, well, oh man, now I'll never be famous. And Hayden's like, well, the only person that's gonna be famous now is Dr. Harmon when they find out that, when they find your dead body in his basement.
Yeah. Well, the reason she wants to get rid of the body is because she doesn't want Dr. Harmon to get caught with the body. I thought she didn't want him to get caught with the body still.
She didn't.
Because then he would have to leave and they couldn't be together because that's ultimately what she wanted. Mm-hmm. Still in death was to be with this man, which is crazy to me. But Elizabeth says, the things we do to be famous or something like that, she says.
And so you already know they're talking about how transport the body, and Hayden's like, I have someone who owes me a favor because, you know, Larry's the one that killed her. So obviously she's going to be like, okay, over here. Cause, yeah, you killed me. So in order for them not to find out that you killed me, you're going to do this.
The weird thing about her death is, you remember her sister pops up the house with the police officer?
Oh my God, Mom, that is so funny.
And she's like, the last time my sister was seen was here. And Dr. Harmon's like, what? She was like, she walked out the door. I don't know, like, where she
went.
And then Hayden pops up like,
and she's like,
I thought she didn't want to talk to me anymore.
I thought you were only calling me for money. And I just wanted to go.
Because she was blaming Ben and he actually didn't have anything to do with it.
Like, he didn't end up burying her body.
Yeah.
Because Larry killed her. And I guess Larry wasn't going to jail, but Larry did end up going to jail. Good. Later.
He kind of deserved to go to jail.
He also, he's kind of part of the reason this guy's in this mess anyway, because he...
giving him the worst advice?
That, and then he literally followed him. Like, the first three episodes, I had to go back every episode, because I was trying to find where they meet, because he's literally just following Ben on his run.
Yeah, he's a stalker. And it's
weird.
Anyway, back to the boy Dahlia.
So, Larry goes and he puts the body somewhere, and it's fined by three guys playing basketball, because, you know, playing basketball, their ball rolls over by the bush. One guy goes and he grabs it. He looks up, sees the body. He's like, y'all gotta come check this out.
First of all, why is he so calm? It's a mutilated body of a man cut in half with a smile cutting his face. He like, hey, y'all need to come check this out. He's so cool about it. Like, and, you know, there's no distress on his face, none in his voice. Like, are you a psychopath? Do you kill people and dismember their body?
And so Larry's over there to make sure that it did get found over there and everything. And so, boom, boy Dahlia, that's what he is. Now he and Elizabeth are both famous for the same thing. They both got what they wanted in a really twisted way. And I honestly feel bad for some of the people there, because... it's literally time and more people are coming. There are very few people that I don't feel bad about. One of them is the twins that are there.
It's more, this house is just, it's called the murder house. It literally attracts people because this house is beautiful. And then you never get to leave. It's like Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. Well, you can check out, but you can never leave. It's a song called Hotel. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. I know you heard me sing this song, like, because for a while I was listening to it, like, every day. I don't know why. It is such a dark song, but I was like, Hotel California.
The only two people that died in that house that weren't, like, that didn't live there were the first two boys that we see go into the house, which is the first time we see Addie, because they're going in there to go, like, wreck it.
Because they're crappy kids.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, the whole surgeon dismembered their kid because their kid died and locked it in, like, the basement. So the kid's dead in the basement. It's crazy. And it's out for blood. So, you know, it kills the two guys. And they're like 9 or 10 with bats.
They look like the evil version of the Weasley twins.
Exactly. When I first saw them, I was like, why do they look like the Weasley twins? When they had the long hair the third movie?
Like, they look like if the Weasley twins were on Voldemort's side, it would be those two little boys in that show.
And they, no, I feel like the whole bat thing would probably be something that they would do, though.
In real life, oh yeah. Like, but those boys were just mean. The Weasleys aren't mean. They're pranksters, but they're not just outright mean.
And no, they're not, because, like, everybody likes them, too.
Yeah, because, like, they're just pranksters.
Everybody likes them.
They're goofy. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I also love Harry Potter, so.
We just went off. See, we keep having tangents, but that's what you get when you get a parent and a child.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not technically a child anymore, but she's my child.
No, I said I am still a child. I am not a kid.
Oh, excuse me. I'm a child. I'm just not a kid. Sorry. I don't know why I mocked her like that. That was rude. Rude. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, it is like 12:30. First of all, it's past my bedtime, okay? It's past my bedtime. I know I'm grown, but I get up early in the morning. My husband works third shift, so I generally get up when he comes home to make sure that he's good and, you know, he eats before he goes to bed and stuff. And then I stay up and make, like, during the week, I make sure the kids have breakfast and all that good stuff. So I'm generally up by, like, 7:30 in the morning. So generally right now, unless I'm having an insomnia night, I'm asleep, but we're hopped up on coffee.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, now we're going to go through what really happened. And since you know what happened in American Horror Story, we can kind of
compare and contrast.
We'll go back and forth. This is already over an hour, but it's been fun.
It has. I didn't even realize it's been an hour. It's
just, I didn't realize it until I looked at the timer. I just got cut off in the time. And I was like, oh, it's late. Uh-huh. Oh, well, this is nice. Okay. So when the police are called, they call it in wrong. Like, first of all, it's called to the actual, like, from the dispatch to the police officer as an intoxicated person down. I don't know how you get that from a deceased person. Like, how do you get
especially
that?
Especially because I found they're a body. Cut in half.
Yeah, like a mutilated person. That doesn't even sound right. But when the police get there, they are shocked. They're not expecting to see what they saw because they thought it was a drunken person. And it wasn't. Now, all of Elizabeth's blood is drained from her body. She has the Glasgow smile. And it started in Glasgow, Ireland. It was like a gangster thing. Like, it was to teach you a stinking lesson.
Pieces of her skin were cut off. And she was posed in a very provocative mm-hmm. way. Both arms above her head. Her legs were open. And she had candle wax melted in her tooth.
We talked about that earlier.
With cocoa fiber. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. I found that out also from that interview. Oh. That's why I like to dig into multiple sources. You can find tidbits everywhere. But cocoa fiber is ground cocoa husk. And it's, I would assume it's kind of like if you just took the apricot scrub part out of like facial scrub that we use. I think mm-hmm. if you just took the apricot husk out, it'd probably be the same thing. But it's like really fibrous and it gets into everything because it's like cocoa powder but rougher because it's able to scrub. Because mm-hmm. if you rub regular cocoa powder in your skin, it would just turn to like paste, I feel like, or dirt. Not dirt, but it would just make you dirty. Anyway. The police found cement bags in the area because it was like a construction area. The construction had been halted for whatever reason, but it is a construction area. Now, on those bags, they found a diluted blood drop. And they also found one in a heel print. Now, I couldn't find whether it was like a high heel print or the heel print of a regular shoe. I'm going to go with the regular shoe because I'm going to go with it was a man that put her body there for $200 because, yeah, all the suspects were even dudes. I don't see a woman doing this. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm an equal opportunity. Women can do whatever, but I don't think a woman did that, okay?
So, the police canvassed the area and people didn't really see anything. All they saw was a dark car and potentially a man near the area at the very early morning, or like the very early times in the morning. So, Elizabeth was identified because of that time she was fingerprinted in 1943. Told you to remember that. Kept that in your back pocket. Good for you. If not, 10 points to whoever did keep it.
Whatever house you're in, you get 10 yes. points. 10 points to
Hogwarts.
10 points to Ravenclaw, because that's my house.
And 10 points to Slytherin, because that's my house.
Forget Slytherin, bro. Anyway. the local police couldn't even identify her. They had to send the prints over to the FBI. And they had never, this wasn't a thing. Like, you think now everything's in a computer. They can just scan it right on over, put it in a system, whatever. They had to individually take photos of it because they tried to take a photo and send it and it didn't work. So they had to individually take photos and then they used some kind of machine to send it over.
Oh yeah, a fax machine that the newspapers has. Because the newspapers had it to send it directly to other, like,
news outlets.
Stations?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was, like, a super extra fancy fax machine.
I'm sorry.
And they were able to identify her fingerprints.
Here's the thing that bothers me. So, the newspaper and the press have this fancy crap, but the actual people who are actually need to get information from one place to place, the people who are, like, solving murders and everything.
You mean the police?
Yeah, don't have it.
So the FBI obviously did because they received it. But you have to think about this. The local police is part of the government. They're government workers. Like, they work for the city or the state or county, whichever department of the police they work for. So their budget is strictly based on, like, taxes and what the government kind of gives them to work with. While, one, the FBI is going to have they always have the top of the line because they're the federal government and they work with outside sources, like in different countries. Also, the newspaper, they're private and they're a for-profit. The police is not a for-profit. So, that's the difference. That's kind of why the police get. So, after they identified Elizabeth, The police tried to find her funky ass daddy. And they did find him. The man was drunk and belligerent, and he refused to go to the morgue to identify the body of his daughter. Anyway, so Phoebe gets a phone call. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was very annoyed. And, you know, like, I like talking about things that annoy me, which is okay. Very strange because I sound, I'm very passionate about it. Anyway, Wayne Sutton, right?
Yeah, Sutton.
Is a journalist.
Right? Pretty sure it's for the Examiner, but don't quote me on that.
Oh, and he calls Phoebe and is like, Elizabeth won a beauty contest. And, you know, Phoebe is so happy because, like, oh my god, her daughter won a beauty contest. She's talking about how she knew she was going to do it. And Wayne is collecting information about him or about Elizabeth.
Yeah, he's getting Phoebe to give him, like, the background of Elizabeth. Like, and all this information about her.
Come to find out, well, we already know, but he then tells Phoebe that, you know, Elizabeth actually did not win a beauty contest. She's in fact dead.
How fucking rude is that? Sorry. Very. Like, you're rude. You're extremely rude.
Oh, and that's not even the worst part. He then tells her that, she will get an all expenses paid, trip all the way down here so they can, so she can talk to the police and everything. I don't think she actually ends up talking to the police until, like, way later. And it was honestly just another ploy to get her down there to get even more information on Elizabeth.
I know she did, she went there. She did talk to the police because she's the one that identified her body. So, I mean, it was a win-win for her if they did that. I actually didn't find that. So, that's an interesting piece of tidbit of information I didn't know. I did know that she had to come down there, but, like, there was some kind of storm somewhere in between Massachusetts and Cali, so it kind of postponed her, but she got there as soon as... And she shouldn't have had to go identify her daughter. It was the daddy's fault she was there in the first place. He the one that invited her there. And you couldn't even be bothered to identify your daughter's body, like, ugh. And we're going to talk more about the effing media. The media literally covered this case so horribly. It pisses me off because they put her autopsy picture on the front page of the news, which I feel like is slightly disrespectful. Press. And it was so...
Need no press.
Are you over here rapping Cardi B? Okay.
Yes.
They make it try to seem like she was a prostitute. They literally go as far as calling her a sex fiend, which is weird. They had no proof of this whatsoever. I couldn't find anything like that. And also, like, the incident that happened at Camp Cook kind of contradicts that whole thing. We know her case as the Black Dahlia case, but initially it was called the Werewolf Murder. I don't know why, but not too long after that, they did settle on the Black Dahlia case. Now, no one can agree on why. Some people say it came from her friends, like, at a bar that she went to. They called her a Black Dahlia because she always wore black and had a flower in her hair. Other people think it was just a lazy name that the media gave her because the movie The Blue Dahlia came out and she wore black, so Black Dahlia.
The police said that either the killer knew her or the killer didn't. And let me tell you, when I heard this the first time, my first thought was, well, no, duh. Because, like, I mean, you either know a person or you don't know a person. Like, even if you don't really know them, you either know a person or you don't know a person.
What they meant was, it's either a stranger who's like a psycho, or it was somebody who killed her and posed her like that, and it was personal. But the way they said it sounds so stupid.
That sounds so stupid.
It just sounds dumb the way he said it. So the killer did reach out to the news. They called and said that they would be sending Elizabeth stuff and that they were unhappy about the way the case was covered. I would agree that I'm unhappy too, but I'm also, I don't condone what this murderer did. I'm just saying it wasn't covered well. There would be a package sent to the Examiner the next day with, like, newspaper magazine letters cut out to make words. You know how you think about old school, like, ransom notes after a kidnapping? That's what it was. But this package, it had Elizabeth's birth certificate. It had an address book that had Mark Hansen's name on it. There's that name again. Some business cards and pictures.
Police zeroed in on one Mr. Mark Hansen. and how he was associated with Elizabeth. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in a minute, but Elizabeth's handbag and shoes were also found in a nearby trash can on that same day the package arrived, which is creepy.
Right? It is weird.
The police had Manly, you know, Red, confirm that the purse and shoes belonged to her, and it would not be the last letter that would be sent. It was actually just the first.
What? Okay, so there was a bunch of letters that were sent, but the first one, as far as I could tell, was the only one that was authenticated and that they know came from him, just because, like, it had her stuff in it. This person decided to call themselves the Black Dahlia Avenger. I don't even know why you would call yourself that. There was a bunch of suspects, but the ones that we're going to kind of focus on is the Robert Red Manly, Mark Hansen, and a lot of people's favorite suspect, the good old doctor, which kind of I feel like lines up with what American Horror Story did, because mm-hmm. they had like a doctor who ended up killing her. Mm-hmm. It was by accident. I don't know if people think that this guy killed her by accident or not.
So Mark Hansen owned a nightclub and a theater and liked rubbing elbows with rich with other rich famous people. And he knew Elizabeth because she worked for him at one of his clubs. Hansen offered Elizabeth to stay with him because he had rented his home out to, or he rented rooms out to women, and they would have to share. Elizabeth lived in this house on and off between May and October of 1946. Reporters say that Mark was infatuated with Elizabeth.
He was infatuated with her, and if she didn't play ball, then, like, he would kick her out, and if she would call, he would let her come back, and it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
So the day before Elizabeth went missing, she called Mark from San Diego, and Mark was one of the last people to actually speak to her before she disappeared on January 9th. So LAPD interrogated Hansen, and his conversation with Elizabeth made several contradicting statements, and no official charges were ever actually brought to Hansen, and he died of natural causes in 1964.
Hansen was like, he never got in trouble. He wasn't a criminal. He had no violent history. We know it doesn't mean anything at all. A lot of people kill people and then they never had a criminal record until they get caught for killing that person. There are also speculation that he had like gang ties, like he was connected to like the mob or something, but there's literally no evidence. They're just assuming that. The next one is Robert Manly, also known as Red. He was the last like regular person that knew Elizabeth to see her that was confirmed before she disappeared. And so he was one of the number one suspects in her case. And also, they said he was the last one to see her, but then if you look, it also says that somebody like that worked at the hotel saw her go outside when she waved to that person. So technically he wasn't the last person, but the police would detain him and get his alibi. He did have a rock solid alibi. He was in San Diego with his wife and I think like family. The police found out that he was released from the military because of mental issues. And for some reason, they just like, because of that, they just honed in on him. His wife did have him committed. He did have some mental issues. He was suffering. Ultimately, they give him 2 lie detector tests, which he passed, which we know doesn't mean really anything. Lie detector tests aren't even admissible in court anymore. He was also given what they call a truth serum, sodium pentothal. I don't, like, why are you injecting people with the truth serum? This sounds like something from a sci-fi.
I didn't even know that was a real thing.
I don't think it was a real thing. I think they thought it was a real thing.
Doesn't really make a difference then, does it?
No. That's not a thing that anybody uses now. He didn't change his story. He was never completely cleared, even though there was literally no evidence that he did anything. And they kept giving him these tests and he passed. He would die of an accidental fall on January of 1986. Literally 39 years today, Elizabeth went missing. The last suspect we're going to talk about is Dr. George. I'm not going to dig deep into him because I kind of want to deep dive into like him and his whole family because I feel like they deserve an episode all in themselves.
So the good doctor was a suspect after being accused of incest by his daughter and went to trial. And even though witness said that it happened, even more people said that it didn't, so he was acquitted. It could have happened because he was very rich, and the police thought the murderer could be a doctor because of the precision and the cuts to Elizabeth's body. On February 18th, in 1950, the police installed two microphones in the Hodell household, and they heard mostly nothing, but one recording was alarming. It says, and I quote, "Supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia, they couldn't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary anymore because she's dead." This lined up with a recording that they heard previously. The police heard a woman screaming twice out of nowhere. Realizing that there was nothing I could do, I put a pillow over her head and covered her with a blanket. "Get a taxi," expired 12:59. They thought there was something fishy. Anyways, now they may figure it out.
It's weird. The way he said it was weird. He literally says, "Realized there was nothing I could do, put a pillow over her head, covered her with a blanket, get a taxi, expired 12:59. They thought there was something fishy anyway. Yeah. Now they may have figured it out. Killed her. Was the person, here's the thing, I think maybe he might have been referring to his secretary, because she did die in his presence. It was supposedly an OD. There was no way to prove it. He did burn some of her stuff, which is super weird. But the police stopped listening, like, not too long after the supposed I killed the Black Dahlia. They never arrested him or anything. Like, they just kind of stopped spying on him, which is super weird to me.
That would make me spy more.
So, George's son, Steve, would get a photo book when his dad died years later. And he thought a picture in it was Elizabeth Short. Now, some experts say it was, some experts say it weren't. Like, literally, the first expert said it's a high probability it wasn't. The newest expert said it was a high probability it was. We don't know. I know one of the pictures was a friend of George's. There were two pictures. The other one, they absolutely could not. They couldn't tell whether it was her or not. It was contradicting. Steve was a former police officer. So after he retired, he just, like, spent the rest of his life investigating this case. He wrote books. He's been on documentaries. And like I said, I want to take a deeper dive into this family because they think that George might have just been like a serial killer. I know he was a crappy person, but they also think he was a serial killer. Now, my daughter read somewhere that...
So, I don't listen to podcasts a whole lot, but I was listening to one about haunted places. And one of them is the Cecil Hotel. Everybody knows about that haunted hotel in Los Angeles. Is it in Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where, like, people have died and a bunch of bullcrap has happened. And it's crazy. So when I was listening to it, they had mentioned that someone who stayed there was the notorious Black Dahlia. And, you know, I was interested because, what?
So I dug in a little bit to see, because I heard this connection before, but I literally had never been able to find any, like, real proof. Apparently, a LAPD officer named Miro McBride noted that she encountered a young lady leaving a bar on Main Street, downtown LA, and claimed that somebody threatened to kill her. Like, she came running up to her. Now, McBride saw photos of Elizabeth. She did not say it was Elizabeth Short when she was spoken to. And McBride never said that it was at the Cecil Hotel. She just said it was on Main Street, downtown Los Angeles. So people just were kind of using conjecture and using the fact, like, the broad description of the lady to say that it was Elizabeth. There's no proof she ever stayed there. She might have went to the bar before, but, like, they have no proof. This is mm-hmm. literally speculation. Like, literally. It doesn't even, American Horror Story, they don't show her anywhere, like, other than this murder house. Mm-hmm. But they did, I feel like they did a decent job of, like, showing the case. They did very much hone into the doctor, though. But they made it two different people, like the doctor who killed her and the doctor who cut her up, mm-hmm. because their theory is Dr. Hodel, who went to medical school, he took, like, did surgery, and they said he was really good with his studies, like, in surgery and stuff. Mm-hmm. He had the actual skills to do it, even though he wasn't a surgeon. If he did it's do possible. It, it'd have been one and the same. Yes, yeah, it's the reason that he's still on the suspect list after all these years.
Isn't he?
Well, that and the recording. Yeah, he's dead.
That is just...
So, people... Apparently, the people who wrote American Horror Story believe so much that he killed him, he killed her, that they put it in there, or they just thought it would be a good story. It does, if it's what it believes. They did do a good job of, like, what was done to her body, and it just... It kind of shows, like...
They did the research.
Yeah, they did the research. They also, they have a tendency to, like, close unsolved cases. And when I say close, they just show, like, something that happened. Because in the case I did about the New Orleans axe murderer, mm-hmm. the axeman in New Orleans, they had an episode in Coven. They had an episode in Coven where they showed the axeman and the witches, like, murdered him. Which is why he never killed anybody else. But ultimately, they didn't know who it was. I mean, I guess some witches could have murdered him in real life. All right. So, this is our first real life versus American horror story. It was super fun. This is a super long
episode,
but I think it was worth it. What do you think?
I think it was very fun.
I think the next one we're going to do is the cases with the murdered nurses.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the next one. Because that's the next real case in the first season of Murder House. Until next time, once again, thank you so much for joining our Patreon. You are so awesome. If you're a Patreon and you don't follow me on Instagram and Facebook, I don't know why. Follow me on Instagram. Follow our Facebook page. Also, go join the Facebook group. I do a lot of posting on Instagram. That's literally the main place I communicate. That's where I tell if stuff is going to be late. I give a sneak peek on what I'm covering. So thank you so much once again for being a Patreon. And as always, stay the amazing people you are. And please,
don't get murdered.